Like to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We started a series in Proverbs last week. We saw the first seven verses really are the introduction to Proverbs. The first six verses give us the purpose of the book. We see the title of the book is stated in verse 1. The author is stated in verse 1. We see the purpose is fivefold in verses 2 through 4 and then again in verse 6. And the purpose is introduced by the phrase to know, and then there's two things mentioned, wisdom and instruction. To perceive, and we see understanding. To receive, and there are four things mentioned there, wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. To give, and we see three things mentioned there in verse 4. And then in verse 6, to understand. That brings us to verse 7, which I believe states pretty much the theme of the book of Proverbs. And we read here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise or think lightly of wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then we see the word wisdom is used later on in the verse. It seems to me that knowledge and wisdom here are not distinguished in this verse, that they are synonymous terms here in verse 7. So that conveys the idea of the best knowledge wisely used, and that's wisdom. When we have knowledge and we wisely use it, or we have knowledge and we use it according to God's way, according to God's will, that, of course, is wisdom. And the beginning of that, where it all begins, is the fear of the Lord. We see in Proverbs chapter 4, verse that we read last week, but Proverbs 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. So there is wisdom. There is wisdom to be had. It is our responsibility to get wisdom. And with all our getting of wisdom, we are to get or to receive understanding as well. So if we're to get wisdom, how do we get it? How do we get it? Do we go to school? Is that what gives us wisdom? Do you hang around wise people? Does that give you wisdom? Well, first of all, wisdom is not policy. It's not human policy. It's not cleverness. It's not ability. It's the application of God's principles. That's wisdom. When you can read the scriptures and you can apply God's principles to your life, that's wisdom. When you can live by those principles, that's wisdom. When you begin to view things as God's view of things. That is, we hear much today about a worldview, and most people's worldview is pretty twisted. It's because they don't have any wisdom. But our worldview ought to be in line with what the scriptures have to say. And when we read the scriptures and we begin to view things as God views them, that's wisdom. So where does this wisdom, how do we get this wisdom? Well, we're told here in verse 7, again it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In another place in Proverbs it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And again, I believe here knowledge and wisdom are synonymous, though they're not always synonymous throughout the book of Proverbs. So the fear of the Lord, there's the root of wisdom. So it seems to me that we cannot have wisdom unless we first have the fear of the Lord. And wisdom is the result of this fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is more than religion. You can be religious, and the Bible doesn't teach us to be religious. The Bible teaches us to have a relationship with God. And that relationship with God is really based upon a proper view of God. You cannot have a relationship with God if you do not have a proper view of God. And when we have a proper view of God, we reverence God. And I believe that's what the fear of the Lord is speaking about. It's talking about a reverence for God. It is a fear that literally dreads the displeasure of God. It's not the fear of what God might do if I displease him. That's more selfishness than reverence, what God might do to me. But it is a fear of displeasing God. Just the fact that we've displeased God, that ought to cause us to fear. And that's part of this reverence. It is a fear of displeasing God. And at the same time, it's a desire for his favor. It's a desire to please God. It is a reverence for the majesty of God. It is a respect for the authority of God. There's very little respect for God today. I'm not talking about the world at large. I'm talking amongst Christendom. There's very little respect for God. And I believe the main cause of that is because God has been preached down to man's level. He's not presented as a God who is to be reverenced. And so we see it is a respect for God. It's a respect for his authority. If you have a respect for God's authority, you don't dare argue with God. You don't argue with God. You don't question God. You don't question what God says, and you don't try to fit in your own way somehow and make a loophole. That's irreverence. So the fear of the Lord, this reverence for God, it's a reverence that causes us to bow humbly in his presence. And this is wisdom. It is wisdom for you and I to take our place before God. Not only is that wisdom, but that is where you and I find wisdom tonight, is to take our place humbly before God. Not only to take our place humbly before God, but to stay in our place humbly before God. Now, we're going to look at a lot of verses tonight, but which we normally do not do, but that's what we're going to do. But this fear of the Lord is commanded. It's something that is commanded in the Scripture. But what we want to realize tonight, this is where wisdom is found. You cannot go out here and disrespect God and disregard God's authority and disregard what God says and disregard God's will and claim to be wise. Because the truth is, the person who does those things is a fool. They're not wise at all. I don't care how much they know. They're foolish. But notice in Psalm 4 and verse 4, Psalm 4, verse 4, we see throughout the Scriptures there is the command to fear God. First three words, stand in awe. That's reverence. That's reverence for God. Every day, we ought to find the time to stand in awe of God. Every now and then, God will do something in our lives that will get our attention. The sad thing is what God has to do to get our attention. But God will get our attention. And when God gets our attention, perhaps he works a miracle in our life or whatever, or he intervenes in a miraculous way, but when that happens, the result is always the same. And that is, we stand in awe. But the truth is, God does those things every day. We just don't recognize it. And every day, we ought to stand in awe of God. Every day we ought to seek to read something about God in the Scriptures, and we ought to meditate upon it, and meditate upon it until you stand in awe of God. You review your life and see how God has worked in your life, and you ought to stand in awe. The fact that you and I wake up tomorrow ought to cause us to stand in awe of the long suffering of God and the mercy of God, that God would even allow us to live, that God would allow you and I the opportunity to serve. Again, everything God does is a reason for you and I to stand in awe. And the person who is the wisest is the person who consistently and continually stands in awe of God. So that there's a command there, stand in awe. This is where wisdom is found. Notice in Psalm 33, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the earth reverence God. Let all the earth take their place before God. Again, this is where wisdom is found. Psalm 89, and the 7th verse. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. That's rare today. But God is to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Everyone is to give reverence to God. This is why his day is disrespected. This is why his book is disrespected. This is why his church is disrespected. It all goes back to an irreverence of God. This is why people are self-centered. Again, it all goes back. This is a foundation. Reverence for God. Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And verse 7. Or I'm sorry, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Be thou in the fear of God all the day long. Reverence God all day because of who he is. Reverence God all day because this is where wisdom is found. This is the beginning of wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. And as we'll see later, one of the results of that will be we will keep his commandments. But fear God. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. Verse 20. latter part of the verse says, be not high-minded, but fear. It tells us that pride gets in the way of fearing God. In the book of Proverbs, that's one reason the book of Proverbs has so much to say about pride and condemns pride. Because pride and reverence do not go hand in hand. And if you, and since the subject of Proverbs is wisdom, pride is an enemy to the wisdom of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 17 tells us that we are to walk in the fear of God. And as you read through the Bible, you see when the Bible describes a true believer and a true worshiper of God, they are often described as a man or a woman who fears God. Remember Abraham on Mount Moriah when he was willing to offer his son Isaac. God said, and now I know that thou fearest God. And you can see many examples of that throughout scriptures. In 1 Kings 18, in verse 3, when Obadiah showed respect unto the prophets of God, we read, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. So when people live for God, they are recognized as individuals who fear God. And the Bible tells us many benefits of fearing God. One of them, of course, is that there is wisdom in fearing God. But then notice in Psalm 25 and verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. That's why they're wise. They know the things of God. That's wisdom. There's no one wiser than God. And if you know the secret things of God and you're able to apply those things to your life, that makes you wise. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them, that is those that fear Him, His covenant. He will show them the things of God. That is, when we take our place before God in humility, God will show us. God will reveal things unto us, things that the world has never seen, things that the most intelligent people on this earth have no idea of and have never seen. And you and I, if we take our position before God in reverence, God shows us the secret things, and that gives us wisdom. That's wisdom. The eye of the Lord is upon them for good in Psalm 33 and verse 18. The heart of the Lord is upon them in Psalm 103. In verse 13. In Psalm 147 and verse 11, we see that God pitieth those that fear Him. In other words, that God takes pleasure in them. He has a compassion toward them. So the fear of the Lord brings us wisdom. But not only that, the fear of God brings an inward happiness and causes us to delight in the commandments of God. Notice in Psalm 112. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. The one who fears God takes delight in the commandments of God. It's not a wise person who is looking for the loopholes of God's commandments. It's not a wise person who is always trying to get around the commandments of God or to explain away the commandments of God. That's a mark of a fool. A wise person, we see here, delights in the commandments of God. He takes pleasure in the commandments of God. So Proverbs, of course, has much to say about the fear of the Lord. We see here in verse 7 of chapter 1 that it's the beginning of knowledge. Well, let's go through Proverbs and just see some things that Solomon in his wisdom declares about the wisdom of God. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 28 and verse 29. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. for. In other words, for this reason. Here's the reason for God not answering their prayer. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They failed to reverence God. Failing to reverence God, again we see that those who reverence God, those who fear God, they have insight into the will of God. God shows them things. And what prayers is it that God answers? It's the ones that are according to His will. Who is it that knows how to pray according to His will? A wise individual. And we see here these are individuals that have not chosen the fear of God. Therefore, they don't know how to pray. They don't know the will of God. They don't know how to pray in the will of God. And God does not hear their prayers. So the fear of God brings answered prayer. The best way to have your prayers answered is to take your position before God and stay there. Because it's there that you learn the will of God. And knowing the will of God, you know now how to pray. In Proverbs chapter 2, in verse 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Knowing the fear of God and finding the knowledge of God, those two things are linked together. So if we fear God, we see that's equated with knowledge of God, which leads to wisdom. Again, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord." In other words, the individual who's wise in his own eyes doesn't fear God. "Fear the Lord and depart from evil." The individual who cleaves to evil, the individual who will not let go of wrong, is a fool. That is not a wise individual. Wisdom will cause us to depart from evil. Causes us to depart from evil. Notice in Proverbs chapter 8, in verse 13. Proverbs 8, verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." The fear of the Lord hates sin. When we reverence God, that changes our attitude towards sin. Toward our own sin first, but also toward the sin wherever it's found. When we reverence God, the reverence of God or the fear of God leads us to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. So we see the fear of God leads to a hatred of evil. No wonder it is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs 9 and verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Here the fear of God again is the beginning of wisdom, which is the same as what we read in verse 7. There it says the beginning of knowledge. And knowledge, and the knowledge of the holy, holiness and fearing God are one and same. One who fears God will be a holy individual. Proverbs 14, Proverbs 14, verse 26. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Now I believe the most confident people on the face of the earth ought to be God's people. I'm not talking about self-confidence. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a confidence in the Lord. A confidence that God is going to do what he says that he will do. A confidence in the promises of God. And we see here that the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And along that line, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Their place of refuge is God. That's what gives them confidence. You take refuge in God, you can't help but be confident. There's just the automatic result is confidence. And it's a wise person who seeks refuge in the Lord. And that refuge gives confidence. But then notice in the next verse, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of God adds to our life. It's what Jesus referred to as the abundant life. But not only that, it delivers us from the snares. It delivers us from traps. When you have wisdom, you know how the devil works. You can see his traps before he even sets them. And you know where he's going to set them. So it is a fountain of life that delivers us from the snares of death. Then notice in Proverbs 15, verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. In other words, the fear of God is greater than any earthly treasure that you can find. And one of the reasons is because in the fear of God, that's where you find wisdom. And the price of wisdom, according to Proverbs, is far above rubies. Wisdom will take you further than anything else. It'll take you further than knowledge. It'll take you further than common sense. It'll take you further than anything. Just the wisdom of God. It'll get you through. And therefore, this fear of God that brings wisdom is greater than earthly treasure. Proverbs 15. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Is the instruction of wisdom. The way to be instructed in the ways of God's wisdom is to fear God. Humbly take your place before God. And God then begins to instruct us in the ways of wisdom. People are instructed in a lot of areas today, but there's no better area to be instructed in than in the wisdom of God. And when we fear God, we're instructed in his wisdom. Then notice in Proverbs 16 and verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Now, taking the opposite of that, if reverence for God leads us to depart from evil, what is it that leads men to rush into evil? Well, it would be irreverence. And irreverence for God causes people to rush into evil. You can make all the excuses you want, and I committed this sin, and here's all the reasons I did it. Now, there's really one reason you did it, a lack of reverence for God. That's the reason. You can come up with all your other reasons you want to, but it goes back to, I failed to reverence God, and therefore I rushed into evil. But fear of God will lead us from evil. Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. So the fear of God, leads to life. He that hath it, that is his fear of God or life, shall abide satisfied. There's contentment in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 22. Verse 4, by humility and fear of the Lord, and you cannot separate those two. A proud man will not reverence God. Only a humble person can reverence the Lord. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And what that simply means is that there are the blessings of God. The fear of the Lord brings the blessings of God. And in Proverbs 23, verses 17 and verse 18, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. When you begin to envy lost man, that's a foolish thing. That's very, very foolish. Shows no wisdom. Be thou in the fear of the Lord. That is, do not envy sinners, but instead fear God. When we reverence God, we'll not envy those that are on their way to hell. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. In other words, we fear of the Lord rewards hope. So we see in Proverbs 1 and verse 7 that the fear of the Lord, that's where it begins. So where this wisdom begins is really in a relationship with God. That's where it begins. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is repeated in Proverbs 9 and verse 10 where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But Job also pronounced this truth. Notice in the book of Job chapter 28. Job 28 and verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The psalmist also realized this truth in Psalm 111. And verse 10, we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So over and over we're told the same truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, the fear of God, that is the foundation. The superstructure is wisdom. The fear of God is the root. Wisdom is the branches. So if you want wisdom, be in the fear of God. Have a reverence for the Lord. This wisdom is not found in the world. Notice in Job 28, again, in verse 12. The question is asked in verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found? Now, we see the question is answered in verse 28, the verse that we just read. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof. That is, man doesn't realize the value of wisdom, the value of understanding. Neither is it found in the land of the living. You don't find it in this world. You find it in the fear of God. Then notice, the depth saith, it is not in me. That is, you can go to the depths of this world, but you're not going to find wisdom there. That's not where it's found. And the sea saith, it's not in me. So where is this wisdom? Verse 28, we see the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. So this is our foundation if we want wisdom. And you could ask every person here tonight, do you desire this wisdom? And everybody says, oh, I would love this wisdom. I covet this wisdom. There's only one way to have it, and that is to have a fear of God. And that fear of God is something that you don't just get once and it lasts your whole lifetime. It's something that you receive at salvation, but it's something that has to be maintained. If you and I fail to maintain it, then irreverence comes in. And then if we go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but a that word introduces a contrast. But fools despise think lightly of wisdom and instruction. Who is a fool? Well, by the Bible, a fool is one who lacks wisdom. That's what it is. It's one who lacks the wisdom of God. If you lack wisdom, you will do foolish things. Why is it that some people do the same foolish things over and over and over? Get the same results. Their life's a mess, but it never seems to click. Well, it goes back to a lack of reverence for God. Because if they had a reverence for God, they'd have wisdom. And if they had wisdom, they wouldn't make the same foolish decisions over and over and over and over again. Only a fool continues to do the same wrong over and over and over and over again. And then so foolish that they don't even know. They'll say, I can't figure out why nothing works for me. It's because you always do the same thing. And you keep doing the same thing. And I don't know how many times it would take where eventually someone's going to figure out, you know, I've done the same thing 6 times in a row, and 6 times in a row it didn't work. Well, somewhere along the line you ought to figure that out. But when there's a lack of reverence, the fool is so foolish that he can't figure it out. So there is a contrast drawn here between the wise individual and the foolish individual. And really, that's the whole book of Proverbs. The whole book of Proverbs is a contrast between the wise and the foolish. So let's look in Proverbs quickly. We'll look at several verses again through Proverbs and just see what it says about the foolish individual. Proverbs 1 and verse 22. The latter part of that verse says, "Fools hate knowledge." That's not talking about science or math. It's talking about the knowledge of God. It's talking about spiritual things. Fools hate knowledge. They hate it. They don't want to hear what God says. When someone says, I'll talk with you, but I don't want to hear anything about the Bible. Fools hate knowledge. And I've got news for you. You can't reason with a fool. You're wasting your time. If they're not going to listen to what God says, we want to have a discussion about it. Well, I'm sorry, I don't have time. If you're not going to listen to what God says, I don't have time. I've got better things to do. I've got better ways to spend my time. Fools hate knowledge. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Fools come to shame. Who are the foolish? Those who don't reverence God. They're foolish. They're foolish individuals. Why? Why would you go to someone for spiritual advice or go to someone about a spiritual matter who does not reverence God? That doesn't make any sense. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8 and verse 14, the wise in heart will receive commandments. They'll receive the commandments. But a prating fool shall fall. Verse 14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Both of those verses tell us the same thing about the fool. That is, the fool is an individual that's very near destruction. If they continue following their foolish ways, They will destroy themselves. Verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 10. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Proverbs 10 verse 23. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. They make it a sport to sin. They take pleasure in sin. That's a fool. That's a fool. Proverbs 12 verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. No matter how much you show them, they're right. They're right. Their life's a mess, but they're right. Verse, it goes on and says, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel, that is wise counsel, is wise. Proverbs 13. Verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. It is abomination to a fool to depart from evil. They can't let go. They absolutely refuse to let go of sin. They're not going to quit. They're going to argue from whichever angle they can argue it. They're going to hold on to this sin. It's an abomination for them to quit sinning. That's a fool. That's a fool. Proverbs 14 and verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. That is, they deceive themselves, a fool. Fools, verse 9, make a mock at sin. They jest about sin. They laugh about sin. The people today that are most worshipped in this country are those who mock at sin. So what does that make those who worship them? Fools. Proverbs 14 and verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. That is, you point out evil to a fool and he gets angry. And he gets more and more confident in his sin. Proverbs 15. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. They can't help it. Proverbs 15, verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Proverbs 17, verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. A foolish child will bring sorrow to the, if that is, if the parents have wisdom, unless they're foolish. A foolish child will bring sorrow to the lives of wise parents. Proverbs 18 and verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding. That is spiritual understanding. A fool has no delight in those things. Proverbs 18 and verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. They are contentious individuals. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. They are given to meddling. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. That is, a fool won't let it go. They're not going to let it go. They're going to keep on. They return to their own folly. Proverbs 26, verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That is, why does a dog return to his vomit? That's its nature. Can't help it. That's his nature. Why does a fool keep going back to his foolishness? He can't help it. That's his nature. He's a fool. He's a fool. They cling to folly. Proverbs 27, verse 22. Though thou shouldst bray a fool in a mortar, among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. They cling to it. And then lastly, in Proverbs 28 and verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And oh, how often that advice is given. Well, you just do what your heart tells you to do. My Bible says the heart is the most deceitful thing on this earth. And he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Is a fool. So the Bible, or the book of Proverbs, God presents wisdom as a treasure. As a treasure that you and I can have in all of our life's experiences. If we look at all of our experiences, many times we haven't handled our experiences wisely. But you look at all your experiences, and if that one thing it should teach you is the need for wisdom. And then you look at the world in which we live today, and that should teach us the need for wisdom. We all need wisdom. We all need it. We need it to raise our children. Whatever our responsibilities are, we all need wisdom. We all need wisdom. And I believe that this is a wisdom, this wisdom that is from above, this wisdom that comes from God, is a wisdom that can permeate every area of our life. And that's what we ought to desire. So how do we get it? Fear of the Lord is the beginning. And it makes it quite clear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of this wisdom. So the first thing we need to do is have a relationship with God, a meaningful relationship with God that produces a fear of the Lord. And that is the beginning. That's the beginning of wisdom. And this is a wisdom that can be had by all of us. Next week we'll look at the rest of